those lines.
And boys' lines.
As bored as lion. As bold as lions.
As bold as lions.
You're listening to the As Bold as Lions podcast.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today for another edition of the As Bold as Lions podcast. My name is Derek. I'm your host. And we have been diving in the last few weeks into a series that wasn't able to come up with a very creative topic. So I just titled it Stuff That's Been On My Mind. And sort of a catch-all series just to look at some hot button topics. Hot button may be sort of a bit relative because I'm deeming these hot button kind of front burner type issues, but hopefully you can resonate with each of these in some way, relate to them in some way. We could spend probably a dozen weeks on this and just look at current events and, you know, biblical prophecy, all kinds of things. We could just go on and keep going down this rabbit trail. But this is week three of three. First week was on Christian celebrity culture. Encourage you to go back to that one if you haven't listened to it already. Something kind of a little bit different there, but seemingly relevant, I would say. Last time it was on AI, artificial intelligence. And now today, totally shifting gears again. These are all kind of not really related, but in some ways they are. This one today, the Jezebel spirit. So I'm going to dive in right away today. I've got my glass of lemonade here and I'm looking out the front window of my house. It's kind of a sunny but windy day here in May as I record this. But as I look and consider this topic, just a little bit of background of where I came to landing on this specifically, which may seem a little strange. I don't know. But I felt like one of these weeks for this series, I wanted to do something just in terms of the spiritual climate of our country, of the world right now, of the church. The spiritual battle that's just kind of taking place and the need for discernment, putting on the full armor of God, being suited up, being ready for what we're facing. And as I stepped back from that and just kind of thought about that, I was like, well, that's really big in and of itself. Like that's too big really for one episode to kind of drill down and really do much justice to that. So then, as I'm thinking through this more and just trying to figure out like how would I go into that, but not on such a large scale of what we're kind of talking about there. This topic of the Jezebel spirit just sort of kind of came into view. And since that was kind of laid on my mind, I couldn't shake it. I was like, that seems to be the right place to go with this particular episode. As I think about this phrase and this topic, I've seen it over and over again. I'd say from the last 6 months back to a year, I've heard it a lot of different ways, especially in the last few weeks though. I talked a few weeks back with the first episode in this series about stuff I follow or unfollow on social media. And it always seems like there's something that just pops up that maybe it's a suggested thing that the algorithm's pushing to me to say, hey, look at this video or look at this article or whatever. And it's in some of those things and, you know, on YouTube videos about it, whatever. And of course you do a little bit of searching or your phone's hearing you talk about all this stuff, which I do believe they're probably listening and prompting us with things all the time. That's just me. That's kind of my conspiracy theory, but whatever. I'm getting all this just from different coming at me at different ways, the Jezebel spirit. And on top of all of that, the American church, our church, big headlines, kind of a big newsreel thing. Of course, it only lasts for a few days and then we moved on to something else. But about a month ago or a month and a half, just a very well-documented incident of what I would say is the Jezebel spirit acting out in real time. Not going to go into it in any detail here, but if you know of the incident I'm talking about, it was a couple pastors, Mark Driscoll being one of them, Pastor John Lindell, and what was called the Stronger Men's Conference. If you don't know anything about any of that, if you've lived under a rock for a while, go Google all that. You'll get just more than you bargained for. You'll get all kinds of information in this idea of the Jezebel spirit just kind of popping up and being a common thread throughout that whole incident of what we saw. Not gonna go into that, but I think it elevates this discussion to why it's important, and really why it's been a theme that we've been seeing a lot lately. That may have kind of brought it to the forefront a little bit more. For me, it's just been kind of there a lot in the last few months, and that was just kind of a further confirmation of like, okay, this is something that we're definitely dealing with in the church, specifically right now. So I have a few points of kind of sorting this out as we get into things here, just to say, here's what we're dealing with as we talk about the Jezebel spirit, kind of putting that in quotes, because some people might just be really like, not know. And I would say up until recently, I wasn't one to really think about this a whole lot either, or even have much of a concern about it. But I want to outline some clear guidance as to what we have in scripture, what we have in God's word, and then use that to extrapolate as we look at the current culture and specifically the church. Well, it's easy to kind of latch onto this as a buzzword, as a thing right now, and just be like, well, this is in everything. And I'd say, is everything the Jezebel spirit? No. As we talk about the greater spiritual warfare, the stuff that we're putting on the armor against and all that, are we just up against this all the time? No. But I think we can misapply, we can misdiagnose, but I think when we understand accurately what it is or what it is not, then we are sure to know and recognize when it is at work, and some of the warning signs that we can kind of stave off further destruction and the havoc that this spirit can wreak. It's a spirit that is insatiable. It has no limit to its appetite for more and more and more. It's a controlling spirit, as we're going to see. And I guess I would just say, as we move through this today, you may have questions. As we get to the end, you may say, I'm still confused. I'm still not really understanding exactly what this is. I'd encourage you to email me, and we can kind of go from there. I follow up with you, maybe point you in the right direction if I can't exactly answer your question. Because for me, as it's been with each of these topics, it's been like, it's almost been a curiosity, hopefully in a good way, of like, God, what is this? I want to understand it more. And I think that's part of that full armor piece of like, I want to know what this is that I'm dealing with. Like, I want to understand it, God, and even kind of have the spiritual eyes to see, because in the natural and in the physical, I can't always see the way that I should, or my vision is clouded. So take off those blinders, clear out the fog, clear out the haze. Help me to see it clearly. Just as when I go into your word, like I want to see you clearly, God. I don't want to bring my own, biases. I don't want to bring my own misconceptions. I want to see and hear from you. So hopefully that's what we're doing throughout this series. And I think this is a relevant topic. So we're just going to kind of go point by point here today. And the first thing I'm going to say is just, these are all questions just to kind of answer. The first one I have is, who is Jezebel? Just very, very simply, who is Jezebel? 1 Kings 21, verse 7. And in the book of Kings, 1 and 2 Kings, we see Jezebel quite a bit. And Jezebel, his wife, said to him, this is talking about Ahab, she says, "Do you now govern Israel? Arise and eat bread and let your heart be cheerful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite." More on that later. For some context, it's helpful to know exactly what gives us this namesake of the Jezebel spirit. It's, I would say, demonic entity. And this is from crosswalk.com. I got some information from there and another site called gotquestions.org. Those are kind of some references that I looked at. Here's some backstory on Jezebel. She's a Phoenician princess, and she marries Ahab, the king of Israel. She's known for promoting the worship of Baal. This is a Canaanite deity. This is a false god. This is an idol type of thing. She's known of promoting Baal over the worship of Yahweh, the God of Israel. Like basically coming to oppose anyone who would worship God, and trying to silence those voices while at the same time elevating Baal, elevating the worship of Baal. And so her story, as I said, is detailed in 1 and 2 Kings. She's portrayed as wielding considerable political power and influencing her husband, Ahab, to commit acts contrary to the commands of Yahweh, to the commands of the Lord. So she's not a good person. We're going to see that over and over throughout this podcast episode. Ahab, not a good dude either. Sometimes I want to be more forgiving of Ahab, but at the end of the day, he's held to the same standard. We'll kind of talk about some of that a little bit later, but she's not an Israelite. She's a foreign wife. So red flag right off the bat. Like she's going to seduce his heart away from following the Lord. We see that all the way back to Solomon. Solomon took several wives and concubines, and his heart was led astray from following the Lord. From gotquestions.org, we see this. Jezebel was the daughter of Ethbaal, her father Ethbaal, and he's a priest for Baal. He's this cruel, sensuous, false god Baal. We see this time and time in the Old Testament. And her father is a priest king of Tyre. And he murders his own brother to take over the throne. Says on this website, he was hardly a good father figure. So here we have Jezebel with a dad, a role model who really isn't modeling anything positive for her as she goes into a place of leadership and authority as queen. And she wanted to basically wipe out the prophets of God. She was trying to clean house, just to remove anything that was not of Baal. And so she's persecuting those prophets. And we read about in 1 Kings 18 a standoff between the prophets of Baal and Elijah at Mount Carmel. It's a kind of a famous, just coming to a head, everything, throw down, you know, type of a battle between those prophets. And to really, as Elijah said, you know, whose God is God? Who is the Lord? Just as a side note, I did an episode called Elijah. This was a series called Profiles in Courage, where I talk about this standoff in 1 Kings 18. It's back in episode 58, if you want to go all the way back. I'll try to put a link in the show notes. I was listening to a little bit of that, and my heart was warm because that was a series that I did with my wife, Corey. So if you want to go back and listen to that, you'll hear Corey on those episodes. Anyway, there are no redeeming qualities that we can take away from Jezebel. Like, there's nothing in Scripture that leads us to any hint that there was anything good to take away from this person. And that we have the Old Testament record. We have a mention in the New Testament, which I'll get to here in a minute. But I think the story about her that stands out the most in my mind, even more than the standoff with Elijah, one that's a little bit more direct and just kind of shows just how dark this person is Naboth's vineyard. And that's 1 Kings 21, I read verse 7. But this is basically a story of how bloodthirsty she is and how she has no problem just steamrolling over whoever, whatever she wants to get what she wants. And she steals a man's personal property. This is Naboth. So her husband, King Ahab, can have it. And picking up in verse 5 of that chapter of 1 Kings 21, it says this: "But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said to him, 'Why is your spirit so vexed that you eat no food?' And he said to her, 'Because I spoke to Naboth the Jezreelite, and I said to him, "Give me your vineyard for money, or else if it pleases you, I will give you another vineyard for it." And he answered, "I will not give you my vineyard." And verse 7, "And Jezebel, his wife, said to him, 'Do you now govern Israel? Arise and eat bread and let your heart be cheerful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite.'" So the story is just this piece of land that Ahab has his eyes on that is owned by somebody else. And it's not enough for him to just, his spirit is down. He's not eating. He's sad because he went to this person and said, "I would like to buy your vineyard, or I will give you another piece of land for it." And rather than just saying, well, that is no is no, and being okay with that, Ahab is sulking. And Jezebel sees this and basically says, "Hey, you want this piece of land? You want to have this vineyard? Let me take care of this. I'll take care of this." So she organizes a plot to get Naboth guilty. There's these trumped up charges. There's these false witnesses that basically come and just testify things against Naboth that are wrong, and he ends up getting stoned to death. And so through that, Ahab's just then able to just take the property by force, without even having to go through to Naboth. And so that to me shows the true heart of where a Jezebel spirit can go and can lead if you take it to its nth degree. Pretty crazy, pretty amazing that something like that can happen. Of course, you know, we know politically things like that do happen. We don't necessarily want to think of our government or other governments where that's possible, but it is, you know. And all the way back into the Bible and to Scripture, we see where if a ruler or some elite class person wanted something, they would just take it by force. They'd just say, "You're not going to volunteer it. I'll take it through another means." So that is part of what comes into this whole discussion about Jezebel and the Jezebel spirit, and that's just kind of at work within this person. So our first question, who is Jezebel? We kind of tried to define that there by just what we see in the biblical record. Second question I have is, where else is Jezebel in the Bible? And I alluded to this. In the New Testament, we have Revelation 2, verse 20. This is Jesus talking, "But I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols." So Jesus, we know in Revelation, the beginning chapters, he's going to the seven churches. And when he goes to Thyatira, he commends them for their love, their faith, service, patient endurance. He kind of starts out there. But, and it's a big but here, he says, "You tolerate a Jezebel in your midst." Going on from verse 20, that verse 21, "I gave her time to repent." Talking about Jezebel. "I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her onto a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her I will throw into great tribulation, unless they repent of her works." Verse 23, "And I will strike her children dead, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart, and I will give to each of you according to your works." So this whole passage is in Revelation, and you know, it's hundreds of years removed from the actual account of Jezebel, but yet there is a Jezebel like person, or with a person with Jezebel like qualities that is specifically called out by Jesus in Revelation 2, and she's in the church of Thyatira. And the phrase Jezebel's spirit isn't specifically mentioned in the Bible, but I think we have enough evidence to say that the same characteristics that inhabited Jezebel in the Old Testament, they're also in the New Testament in this person, and they're also alive and well now. But Jesus is calling out such things. And really, it's a call out against this church because they've tolerated this person. And it's a call that even after his appeal to repentance to say, "You need to repent, Jezebel," she is not repentant. She's unrepentant. Therefore, there will be judgment. And those who are attached to her, those who have, it talks about her children, the partakers of evil that have been alongside of her, they're all going to be judged. So there's something to be said about a spirit that was just like the one in Elijah's day that he went up against in that land, that it can then be in our churches. It can be in our homes. It can be in our institutions, our government, all over. So, question I have before we move on is, are we tolerating Jezebel? So more on that to come. Third question I have today. We've established who is Jezebel, where is she throughout the Bible. What are the things that characterize a Jezebel spirit? In this verse, this passage in Revelation, going on to verse 24, which I didn't read, Jesus says, "But to the rest of you in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I do not lay on you any other burden." So he's separating out those who have not followed this Jezebel path. But he's saying for those who have, it's they've learned what some call the deep things of Satan. That phrase stood out to me as I'm thinking about what characterizes a Jezebel spirit. And just like Jesus is equating this to deep satanic stuff. So there's this satanic component that underscores all of what we're talking about today. And as I started kind of studying this and looking at articles and just kind of doing my own research into this topic, I really saw time and time again that a person who exhibits the spirit, displays the spirit, they're really known for being controlling, for manipulation, for seduction, because there's a strong sexual component to this. and for simply disrupting things and bringing chaos. It wants to get its own way. And something I read from gotquestions.org was spot on. It said, this person has a single-minded determination to have one's way, no matter who is destroyed in the process. It's a characteristic of the Jezebel spirit. One thing that I also saw and have heard, you know, just through teachings and things on this, is that for this to thrive, we really need to have something else in place. Key part that allows the Jezebel spirit to thrive, and it's this: weakness, and specifically weak men. If we're going to be honest, King Ahab is the prime example. I'd say Jezebel wore the pants in that relationship. She's the one that takes charge. We saw that in that passage about Naboth's vineyard. After the incident at Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal, she's the one, like, I'm going to go after Elijah. Like, she's just driving the ship. And so there's a weak man behind every strong Jezebel, I would say. Or a weak, there's some sort of a weak power vacuum. Would that be the right word? There's some sort of something that's just allowed this to come in, because there's been something that's just been displaced so that this can come in and kind of have its own way. So Ahab was that. He's a yes man. And I'm thinking he was probably honestly afraid of her. He's like, I better stay on her good side, because if I don't, it's going to come back on me. Now, a question you may have is does Jezebel have to be just a woman? Is this just a thing that inhabits women? And I'd say no. I think we have to realize that the spirit is capable of being in anyone. It's capable of acting upon anyone that would somehow open themselves to this. We may more naturally assume a woman, because when we talk about Jezebel, obviously it's applying to this queen. We think of a manipulator, we think of a seductress, those types of things kind of come to mind. But really, the spirit prays in anyone who would succumb to a controlling mindset for their own ends and their own personal gain. But again, I think that anybody that has this has then something that's coupled with it that is weak, that allows that power to be there. There's nothing bringing a balance to that, or keeping it in check. And that power has then just grown out of control. Maybe as you're listening to this, perhaps you're already thinking of somebody or a situation, and you're like, That's a manifestation of this Jezebel presence. And you think of the chaos that has followed this person or follows them as they go. We definitely can see it in the church world with things that we've seen, churches that we've been a part of where there's been disrupted things. It's out there. It's prevalent. And so as we go through this, I hope that your senses are kind of heightened to just be more aware of it, and be more aware of when it's kind of at work and trying to disrupt things. The next question I have as we go into that kind of that mindset is, how is the Jezebel spirit active today? In 1 Kings, back to 1 Kings 19, verses 1 through 3, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he'd killed all the prophets with the sword. This is the aftermath of Mount Carmel. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." So she's sending this threat to Elijah after this showdown with the prophets. And she's like, I'm coming after you. I'm going to have your head. So it's a warning, and it's saying, you shouldn't have crossed me. You shouldn't have messed with me. We know that the enemy seeks to kill and destroy, to devour. And this is what the end goal is for Satan with this Jezebel spirit. If it's in the home, it's just a practical example. It's to make the wife not submissive to her husband and to his authority. It might seem like a small thing, but it's a big thing. And that leads to dissension within the home, just not coming under his headship. In the church, it's to bring into question the authority of a pastor, the elders, those in biblical authority over the church, to question teachings or to second guess and doubt the validity of what is being said. And through that, to then seek power or authority that was never granted or a position that was never offered. As I talked about churches that have been destroyed and thrown into disarray through a person like this, often it's that ability to come in and, again, that power vacuum or that ability to cause others to question and to doubt and kind of to form sides, to manipulate people. It's a very real thing. And into the government, not going to spend a ton of time here today, but I want to touch upon it. It's obviously in government because we see in Israel's day, a king and a queen influenced by it. So that spirit is still alive and well within governments today. And I grew up throughout my lifetime, even hearing about certain presidencies where it was like, well, he's Ahab and she's Jezebel. And I'm not going to name who that was, but there was a specific president who that was very, very popular to say that, especially among some Christian circles that would say that about this particular individual and how he ruled and how his wife was seemingly under this Jezebel spirit. Not going to go much further with that, but just again to realize this is at work in the world all the time. And besides being at work in the world, in the secular, you know, godless kind of factions of society, it's there to really infiltrate and circumvent the Christian home, the church, anything that it can do to disrupt and undermine what Christ is doing within his bride. And that's where it really hits home for me, no pun intended. That's where I know that this thing can it wants to disrupt, it wants to divide, it wants to get Christian against Christian, that kind of a thing. Again, gotquestions.org, I've got a quote here, says this, kind of sums up some things. Perhaps the best way to define the Jezebel spirit is to say it characterizes anyone who acts in the same manner as Jezebel did, engaging in immorality, idolatry, false teaching, and unrepentant sin. It says, to go beyond that is to engage in conjecture and can possibly lead to false accusations and divisiveness within the body of Christ. And I'm just going to echo that too and repeat what I said earlier. Not everything is the Jezebel spirit. We have to be kind of careful to monitor that and know what may or may not be qualifying under that. Okay, I hope you're staying with me because this has been a lot, and a lot of that just to set up this last kind of portion of the episode, because we have to know what we're dealing with or what potentially this could be to have the discernment to see that and then lead us into action, which is where I think this needs to go and where we kind of end our discussion on this, this whole thing, that we take action points that are hopefully helpful as we grapple with the Jezebel spirit. That's my fifth question for us. How do we confront the Jezebel spirit? I love this from 1 John 4, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and is now in the world already. I think right there, we have a great roadmap of what we do, and that is to test the spirits, to know what is of God and what is not. Because as a manipulating, kind of subtle type of thing, this can be something that kind of creeps up, and we may not even recognize it at first, and then it's like, wow, this is more than what we bargained for initially. Just thinking about that in terms of people that we may come into contact with who seem to be more power hungry or just a controlling nature. Why is that? Where does that come from? Are they professing Christ and trying to do that at the same time? Is there something off there? Men specifically, is there a relationship that you need to cut off because it is improper or could look improper, kind of that integrity thing? And that person is operating in a Jezebel spirit of seduction. That's a very real thing. And I think we have to be wise to those types of relationships. And backing up, I think as we ponder any of this, as we talk about action points, we're using prayer as our primary weapon to come up against any Jezebel spirit. We're praying for God to open our eyes to see clearly, to judge rightly, to think logically, because a lot of times we get an emotional response to all this stuff. And I think, as we've seen, or hopefully have laid out, Jezebel is an emotional person, and she's going to act erratically. He or she is going to act erratically. Sometimes there's mental instability going on. I would say demonic in some regards, but it's a spirit to manipulate others to be sympathetic to a certain viewpoint. That if that person can then get others to agree with them or at least sympathize with them, again, there's that leverage for more control and more power over some sort of situation. Talked about this already, but Jezebel can divide a whole church amongst itself. And it's usually them with their group of followers, and then on the other side is a pastor and the others who have the biblical authority and the headship over those congregants. In this, at some point, there's a confrontation that has to occur. If it's received with repentance and there's a willingness to come back under the right authority, I believe there's grace for that person. They may not even have known that they've opened themselves up to all of this, but they have. But they then kind of have that aha moment, like, wow, I've really gone down this path and I didn't want to. If there's repentance and a true change of heart and coming back under where they need to be, then I believe there's grace. And I believe they're opening themselves to God's forgiveness and restoration. But sadly, in most cases, I think the scenario is that person is left unrepentant. They refuse to admit wrongdoing. And in that case, within the church, really have to ask that person to leave. You have to say, you know, I don't want more harm done to the rest of the flock. I don't want this to grow and tear apart the body. So I'm going to have to ask you to leave. And that can be messy. That can be crazy messy. But that's just some real stuff that we have to think through and definitely pray through. I want to step back too and just say, realize that we're talking sometimes about a church versus a marriage or another relationship. Said that, you know, the Jezebel spirit can be active within a marriage to some degree. These are things that are a case by case basis. For a marriage, I'd say we definitely seek the salvation of the marriage. We seek for reconciliation. We seek for the healing to happen there or within the family, for people to be reconciled, for this spirit to be put down and put under. But for the health of a church, I think you have to cut off the head of the snake. And that's just to kind of keep further harm and damage to the body, like I said. Ultimately, we have to understand this. We have authority in Christ. We have authority in Christ. Ephesians 1, 18 through 20, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might. Verse 20, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Paul's laying it out for us there. We have this power that we have access to. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That's at work within us. We have power in Jesus. If you read 2 Kings 9, verses 30 through 37, you read about Jezebel's end. She comes to a nasty end. It does not work out for her. And that same end awaits anyone who persists in the defiant, rebellious Jezebel spirit. It's not going to be tolerated by the Lord. And then we are therefore not to tolerate it as well. He is jealous for his people. He's jealous for his bride. And just as the Lord showed up and he defeats the prophets of Baal, he's going to show up again today and declare that he alone is Lord. He'll do it again. I just believe, you know, the church is dealing with this issue. And it's more time than I have to go into. But I think what we need to realize is, are we, like the church at Thyatira, tolerating this Jezebel? Are we tolerating any aspect of her in our lives? Are we afraid of her? Are we kind of taking that Ahab position and just backing down? How do we reclaim what she has stolen? How do we stand in biblical, Christ-given authority against her? These are some questions that we need to have some answers for, and at the same time, we need to be on guard for when Jezebel's spirit rears its ugly head. It's going to come. It's going to happen at some point. Anything that God creates and ordains and sets apart is good. Satan is going to try to disrupt it. He's going to do what he can. And this is one of the primary ways I believe he does that. This is one of the ways he comes in and just tries to mess things up. And so I think it's relevant. I think the discussion is something that we should be having and kind of just keep coming back to. Maybe that's why we're seeing so much of it right now, because God's saying the Jezebel spirit is in my church. It is in America, and you shouldn't tolerate it. Guys, I've loved diving in for these past 3 weeks. And I feel like I've only scratched the surface on any of this stuff. These are heavy topics, but I think they're important. I think they're relevant for right now. Wasn't really sure how I'd put together kind of a response for each of these things, but I think God's given me some insights, just some truths that I needed to read and things in scripture that I needed to read, and then allowed me to just kind of share his heart as I've shared what I've kind of collected through all of this on all these topics. So I hope you hear his heart through this and taking that into the greater podcast itself and anything that's with As Bold As Lions. I hope that it's his heart coming through on anything that I put my name on, which really is inconsequential. It's small. I'd rather just have his name be the only name that you see and the only name that comes forth through any of this. That all being said, just kind of a footnote on the end here as we close, I am going to take a bit of a break for right now. And it's kind of an undefined, not sure exactly when I'll be back kind of a break. But just that I've felt for a little while like I need to step away and just put a pause at least on the As Bold as Lions podcast. For at least the month of June, might be a little bit longer. I'm not sure. I'm praying through some of that. I've loved doing the podcast, and I believe I'm going to come back after a while, after some of the kind of busy life stuff that's going on right now slows down. I have a son who's graduating and getting ready for college. I have some things to attend to with my church, various aspects of what I do on a weekly basis, and some commitments this summer. And just on top of all that, I think I'm just taking some time to just reevaluate the As Bold as Lions ministry, hone in on what I believe God's calling me to do in this season. I wear a few different hats, as you guys may know, worship leader, all the As Bold as Lions stuff, all my own music stuff, do guitar lessons, do student worship things, kind of keep my hands busy with different things, but I'm just wanting to use my time well and be just mindful of what God is calling me to do. So that's maybe just where I'm pressing in over these next few weeks as we hit pause, as I kind of take a time out from the podcast for a little bit. Just so you know, the blog and the devotionals are still going on. I do a monthly As Bold as Lions blog. I do 3 times a week devotions. And I may sneak another podcast in just as I'm away, just to kind of break it up. I can use my monthly blog materials for that. Just kind of stay tuned. We'll see. But in the meantime, I just love to hear from you guys and to just keep in touch. We can talk about stuff that's been on my mind. We can talk about stuff that's been on your mind, whatever. But it's really always a blessing for me to just hear from you as you hear any of these podcasts, or as just life stuff's going on, whatever, to just correspond. I've met so many people through this, and just connections that I would have maybe never had I never hit record and just sent something out there. So I'd ask you to reach out. info@derekcharlesjohnson.com is a great way to find me, to email. You can also find me on social media sites like Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, those types of places. And you can message me through any of those platforms. So this isn't really a goodbye, just kind of a see you later. Don't want to get too super sappy or sentimental about it. But it is kind of in some ways I'm thinking of it sort of like a sabbatical. If you're in ministry, you kind of know what that means, to just kind of step away from things for a little bit. And sabbatical kind of feels like the right term, if I can stretch that and use that to cover my break from doing a podcast for a few weeks. But I love you guys, and again, I want to hear from you. As we close out today, I'm reading our theme verse, Ephesians 5:15-17. And it says this: "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Guys, take care. We'll see you again soon.
Hey guys, this is Derek Charles Johnson. You have been listening to the As Bold as Lions podcast. I am a blogger, a songwriter, an artist. And if you've been encouraged by this podcast, please go ahead and subscribe and share, and head over to DerekCharlesJohnson.com for more encouraging content. God bless.